You live on your W-2 money and you take every dollar you make from that side hustle and you save up until you have that money. Then you take the leap of faith and you give yourself a runway.
Financial independence,
freedom,
financial picture,
independent financially,
financial future,
financial freedom and wealth,
financial independence,
get your fill, financial independence and long life. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Get Your Fill, Financial Independence and Long Life, where we explore ways to achieve those two goals. And people come on to help us who are perfectly and amazingly situated to help us on those journeys. And that's why it's so cool that Danielle Hayden is with us today. She's a reformed corporate CFO, or what some people say, recovering, recovering corporate CFO. Which is the chief financial officer. She is on a mission to help rule-breaking female entrepreneurs to understand their numbers so they can gain the confidence needed to create sustainable profits. That's what we want, right, Danielle? Sustainable profits. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So what do you find when people, especially, well, let's start with like, when you start working with somebody, what are some of the things that you often find that are like, similar mistakes that many entrepreneurs are making?
Yeah. The biggest thing is avoiding numbers, avoiding the numbers because it's hard, it's confusing. And look, I totally get it. You went into business because you have a passion or a love to make a difference. You are creative, but you might not love doing the business side of things. You might not understand the numbers. And so most people, because they don't feel confident in it, they bury their head in the sand, they ignore it completely. So the first step is to be on the show to talk to you about not ignoring your numbers, right? The goal is that you'll hear this and know, oh, that's, she's talking to me. From there, it's the people who are trying to do it on their own, who are trying to muster through. They feel like they have to have the superhero cape on. They have to do everything themselves. They need to be the one to do the bookkeeping. They need to be the one who understands everything. And let me tell you, when I was working in corporate, my CEO didn't do the bookkeeping. Right?
Really? That's odd.
Do the bookkeeping. And that's because he didn't know how, and it wasn't his job. And for some reason, we come into business thinking, I need to understand everything. I need to be the one to do everything. And so that's kind of hurdle number two, is just to know you don't have to do everything in your business. We're often the first hire for our clients, because when you're new in business, it's you and you need to buy your time back. And so the people that you're hiring, those first few hires, are people to buy your time back. And when you can hire experts, you can get the most time back. So we're frequently the first hire for a lot of our clients because they know they can't do everything themselves and they have to find the experts to help them.
But I think also what, you know, when you going back to when you were talking about why we aren't looking at our numbers, sometimes we don't like what we think they're going to have to say, right?
I call that the report card effect. That I think is the report card effect. So growing up, I got grounded once a quarter and the report cards would come out. I'm like, oh, great. Here it comes. I don't pay attention and blah, blah, blah. Yep. And literally all it did was make me hate school. And I think that we've all brought forth this report card with us.
Yep.
Guys, your financial statements are not your report card. You don't fail.
You're not going to get grounded.
No, you're not going to get grounded. You might be hard on yourself, but you're not going to get grounded. You don't fail at this. You get to learn. It's an opportunity. And if you can start to look at your financial statements and ask yourself, what worked? What didn't work? What do I want to do differently? What gave me energy? What didn't? That's when the numbers start to lose that judging ruler handbook, you know, and it starts to feel like, oh, I can do this. I'm just learning.
And what you just touched on, so this, you know, to your part two before, like why you don't hire somebody to do this work for you. Sometimes it's like a scarcity mindset. Like, I can't afford to have someone else do my books. I'll just stay up till 2 in the morning and do them. But what you just said like looking at the analytics, like what are these numbers telling me? That's something that, yeah, maybe you can, you know, put all of your bills in the same pile and figure out when to pay them. But that's not all there is to bookkeeping, right? You're pulling the secrets out of bookkeeping. What are these numbers like keeping here? What's the story they want to tell me? And that's what we can't do for ourselves, right? As often as entrepreneurs.
So your job as the business owner is to look at the numbers at a high level. It is not your job to do the bookkeeping, right? So that's why we have bookkeepers to do the bookkeeping. Your job as the business owner is to come in at the high level and say, hold on, what are these numbers telling me? How can I change the way I'm operating my business to maximize the profits, right? Because we all ultimately, you know, we might go into business for different reasons. Like we want to leave our full-time job. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to help people. But ultimately, we all know that our business has to help sustain our personal life in some way, right? We're not running nonprofits, and even nonprofits, the owner still gets paid. We have to run our business in a way that's going to allow us to live our life, live our lifestyle. And so the numbers are just helping you live your lifestyle so that you can make a bigger impact.
Yeah, exactly. So first, you know what, before we get too far into it, I want to make sure that we put a groundwork for people, because I think sometimes people think that the bookkeeper and the accountant are sort of the same person mm-hmm. and do the same job. Yeah. Can you just straighten us out on that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. When I started this business 9 years ago, I had no idea how many terms got thrown around. So your bookkeeper is the person who records the transactions. You are responsible as the business owner to keep your personal and your business life separate. So you're out making money, spending money, using that debit card, using that credit card. Your bookkeeper is behind the scenes, organizing everything for you, putting the numbers together. Your bookkeeper should, now not all bookkeepers are created equal, but your bookkeeper should. So if you're working for a company like ours, like Kickstart Accounting Inc., if you're a client of ours, you get a monthly financial statement. And we send all of our clients a high-level PDF that helps them understand the numbers. They should also hold calls with you to help you, like a space to ask any questions that you might have, right? So that's the bookkeeper's role, to send you the financial reports and to record the transactions. Your accountant or tax account or CPA, right? Like those are kind of the terms you normally hear for the tax preparer.
Yeah.
Your tax preparer comes in at the end of the year, and their only job, literally, their only job is to prepare the tax return. And what I have found over the last 9 years is that people get mad and angry with their CPAs because they are actually, yeah, we have to have a CPA the first year in business. Like most people are like, oh, I can't file my own taxes now. So they go in, they get a CPA. So it's often somebody who you're asking all of your questions to. You're asking every question that you have to your CPA. Well, it's not their job to be your bookkeeper, your business coach, to send you referrals for everything that you need in your business. That's not their job. Yeah. Their job is to prepare your tax return. And they might give you tax strategy. If you're a client of ours at KSA Tax Partners, when we do our clients' tax returns, we also provide tax strategy, but not all tax accounts provide tax strategy. Some tax accounts literally just file the tax return. So that is kind of the two terms. If you hear like outsource CFO or terms like that, that's usually somebody who will hold the strategy for you. But I always tell people, I don't think you need that until you're doing about $3 million in sales a year. Typically, your bookkeeper should be able to help you create a budget, do cash flow forecasting, and help you from a day-to-day perspective until you're hitting about $3 million in sales.
Yeah, that seems like great advice. Yeah, the fractional CFO is the new term that I hear a lot for that person.
Yeah.
Like you're part-time officer.
Yeah.
So Danielle, how did you break free from the corporate world? How did you know that like, I'm in corporate, but not really my thing, I think.
So I always tell people I actually loved my job. So I don't feel like I escaped corporate. I gave up something that I loved. I actually loved corporate. I worked for an amazing company. I had so much fun working with my management team. I reported to a private equity firm and investors who I loved. I loved working with the banks. I mean, I loved everything about it. What made me start to think about the impact that I could provide, I sat around the boardroom and said, I am making the rich richer, right? Like, I'm helping these people. And my job was very important. Mm-hmm. I'm helping these people make business decisions. And I want to be able to take everything that I've learned and help you make better business decisions, right? Like, I want to help entrepreneurs make better business decisions. Let me take everything that I've learned from these incredible people, tailor it and modify it so that every single business owner can get access to this information. Now, especially women, our clients, we work with men as well, but most of our clients are women. And typically women didn't have access to this information. Accounting is a male dominated field. So where are women entrepreneurs going to go say, hey, I feel stupid asking this question. I feel like you're going to judge me, and be able to get an answer. And so we wanted to create a space for women to be able to come and ask questions in a judgment-free atmosphere so that they can get support and grow and make an impact. So when the company that I was working for sold, I took it as an opportunity to pivot and create Kickstart as my full-time adventure and this opportunity to help all these amazing entrepreneurs.
That's awesome. What a wonderful calling.
Yeah. You know, I'll never forget my first year in business, I didn't do an awesome job at my bookkeeping. Like, it's just like every other business owner, right? Like, there's a million things to do. And it's like the shoemaker's kids running around with no shoes.
Yep.
And so I had went to my tax accountant that first year. And I walked into Joe's office. It was a family friend. And I will never forget it. His office still looked the exact same from what it did when I was a little kid. And he had that wood paneling on the walls, you know, that old wood paneling. The carpet was that thin corporate carpet. And it was a hot, sticky summer day. I have naturally curly hair, so you could just picture it. Huge hair. I was a single mom of two young kids at the time. So my car was sticky. Everything felt sticky and big and large. And I felt overwhelmed and not good enough. And when I walked into Joe's office, I remember he was so disappointed and he shook his head no at me and called it my little business. Right. And I walked out of the office and I said, no,
you're fired.
Woman. Yeah. You're fired from my return, but no other woman ever has to feel that way again. Like, nobody else has to feel that way. Right. So that, like, yes, I left corporate, but like when I left Joe's office that day, that's what lit the fire underneath me. It wasn't walking out of the boardroom. That was the moment that lit my fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so true. You're like, okay, I don't want to work with somebody who's going to tell me, you know, you're not making enough money. You need to do this. You know, you're not going to make it. Why don't you just give up? Right. You don't need that person because anybody can give you that advice.
Yeah. No, we are our clients' cheerleaders. Like, you need someone to cheer you on. Our team will cheer you on. And when shit hitting the fan, like, we will be there to help you and to hear you and let you be seen because things aren't always going great.
So one question that comes up a lot, and I wonder if you'd be the right person to ask this of, is a lot of people who have sort of their W-2 job and they're like, I really want to let that go. You know, how can I know that I'm safe to let that job go and to start my side hustle, to turn my side hustle into my real thing? Because of course people are like, well, you know, wait till it makes X amount of money. But when you're working that other job, you can't always do that, right? There has to be like a faith part where you kind of just fly off into the abyss and hope for the best, right?
Yeah. So I think it depends on your risk tolerance. So my risk tolerance is actually pretty low. I don't go to the casino. Don't go to the casino here. I will if I'm on vacation in Vegas, but that's about it. So if you are more risk adverse, I would have 3 to 6 months worth of your personal expenses and your business operating expenses saved up. So you'll want to make a list. List out every expense that you have in your side hustle, air quote, right now. That's going to be your main business, but you have to know exactly what you need in your business checking account so you can survive 3 to 6 months. And then I want you to do the same thing in your personal life. Write down all of your expenses. And then if your spouse is able to contribute to that, then you can, you know, reduce it by their contribution to that amount. I say 3 to 6 months. It's a pretty big range. For me, I had 6 months because I knew that that was my personality style. You might be somebody who's like, yeah, I got one. But if you're asking yourself that question, you're probably somebody who's somewhere in the middle. And so maybe you start with three. So you, that gives you a goal right now to start saving. And guess what? The best time to do it is while you're doing both.
Yeah.
You know, every cent you make from that side hustle, that goes into a savings account. You do not live on that money. You live on your W-2 money, and you take every dollar you make from that side hustle and you save up until you have that money. Then you take the leap of faith and you give yourself a runway. The other thing I've heard is to secure enough contracts for 3 to 6 months. But I don't like that because I still feel like anything can happen on the other side. You know, you could have a client who you know, they signed the contract, but like they run out of money and then they have no money to pay you. I don't care if you have all the contracts in the world, they have no money to pay you. You're not getting paid. So there is that component to it. So you, I don't want you to have contracts secured. I want you to have cash money in the bank.
Yeah. And that's actually, I think, more in some ways easier than trying to make sure that your side hustle is already making enough to replace your income, right? Because it's hard to do part-time.
Yeah, it is.
But in the contract thing, I mean, not every side hustle is going to involve contracts. It doesn't always work that way. So
yeah.
I think the cash thing is just it's a more, you know, it's something you can put your teeth into. There's no gray area. It's like, how much do I spend every month? I need to have that times three minimum. And that's once I hit that nut, then I can just jump.
You just have to be willing to sit down and do it. Like people get so overwhelmed. Like, how am I ever going to figure out what I spend? Like, it's not that hard. You go to your bank and you export into a Excel file what you spent the last 3 months. And you can really easily see how, on average, how much you are spending in your bills. There's also tools like Mint. Mint is one that we've used through the years. I use it personally, where it puts together all of your income and expenses. And there's an AI component to it. So I don't think it's 100% accurate. And unless you sit and tag every single expense like you would with QuickBooks, it's not 100% accurate. But I think it's good for some averages.
Yeah. Yeah. So when people are in that place where they're sort of in between the they have one leg in the W-2 camp and they have another leg in their side hustle camp, what other kinds of things can they be doing to sort of prepare themselves to be successful with their side hustle once that becomes their full-time thing?
Start embracing the mindset. You are not, air quote, too small. That, I think, so I'm going to tell you about a client of mine. So Jenna came to me a few years ago and Jenna said, Danielle, I've been freelancing all year. I need you to tell me how to operate my business at a loss. All right. Odd request, but I'll take it. So I did what we call a catch up. I got all of her transactions loaded into the system. So I put everything into QuickBooks, and it was around November. And so I said, Jenna, I got good news and I got bad news for you. The good news is that you have a profit and I don't have to show you how to operate your business at a loss. The bad news is that we don't have much opportunity to save you money in taxes. And I tell a story because Jenna's mindset is, I am a freelancer. I'm going to expense my meals because I want to be able to write it off. Like, she was running her business for tax. She wanted the write-offs of being a 1099. Her mindset was like, I'm just kind of doing this. She was taking owner's draws, commingling business and personal. And when I told her that, and she started to understand her numbers, her entire mindset shifted. And so she, in that next year, decided to double down on her growth. Now she had saved up money from her W-2 income and she had money to invest. She had money to spend on advertising, marketing, live conferences, networking. I mean, this woman, boots on the ground, she was networking. And she spent a lot of money that year, but she made that money back in revenue. Her entire mindset shifted because she said, I am going to take control. I'm going to be the CEO of my business. I'm going to spend with intentionality to hit my goals. Well, the next year she came back and said, my goals have shifted. I really need to put down some roots. I'm going to buy a home. You know, what do we do? So we went through and we cut some expenses. We trimmed the fat. We went through and made sure that she was focusing on profitability and that she was paying herself and taking home draws. She was able to buy the home. And the next year, her mom got sick. And so her mom moved into the home and her goals shifted again. So she had to beef up her team and pay people a lot of money to make sure that her business withstood that time. She wasn't able to take home a lot of money that year. After her mom passed away, she came back into her business, reshifted again. I tell you that whole story because the best thing you can do now, today, is to embrace the mindset that I am a business owner. I am the CEO of this thing that I'm going to do. And there's going to be seasons of change in this business. And I'm going to be the creator of what these seasons mean and how to navigate them intentionally.
That's a super, I love that story, Danielle, because it really does help people to not just see the business owner's mindset, but also to see when she came to you for consultation to say, okay, help me to strategize in this respect, help me to figure this out, you know, so the ways in which the bookkeeper, I mean, it feels like you're more than what I would think of as a bookkeeper, right? You're actually helping people to plan and think about the longer term aspects of their money.
Yeah, we have made a point as a firm. We have created a framework that we implement with all of our clients. And so every single client, no matter, we have 25 team members on our team. So no matter which bookkeeper you work with, we are all operating within the same framework and asking the tough questions, right? So as a CPA and business coach, I'm able to ask the questions of our clients and of my team to be able to help our clients get one step deeper.
So it's awesome that your company is doing so well. So how did you feel with the first time when you were like, I actually need to hire another person? Tell me about that process.
Yeah, I will never forget it. So I was sitting, I was at my old house at the time, and it was one of those houses where, you know, when the heat turns off and it's like instantly cold, like there's no insulation. So sitting at the dining room table after I put both my kids to bed. Now I mentioned I was a single mom at the time when my kids were young. I'm sitting in this house where every time the heat turned off, it was freezing my butt off. And I'm sitting there working on my laptop. My fingers are like trembling. And I was at this crossroads moment where I wanted to hire this marketing consultant because the marketing consultant was going to help me grow my revenue. But I needed to hire a team member to support the revenue. But what if I hired the team member and the revenue didn't come? It's a typical crossroads. Every single business owner goes through it. Like there's not, I've worked with thousands of business owners now. There's not one that didn't go through this crossroads moment. And for me that day, I used the skills that I have obtained to look at my money mindset and to be able to say, what do I need to do to prepare for this? And the same way I told you to prepare to leave your 9 to 5 is the same way I prepared to hire. I said, all right, how much is it going to cost? How much is it going to cost for me to hire this marketing person? How much is it going to cost for me to hire this team member? How much do I want to have saved up? I'm going to save. It took me 3 months to save. I ended up working with that marketing consultant and she changed my business. Sarah was one of my first team members and she's still with me today. And I applied the logic of what is my business doing now? Now at that point I had the bookkeeping in place. I knew my numbers. I knew what my business needed to survive. And so if you're somebody who's not good with numbers, you need to hire a team member who can help you with that because hiring is less scary when you have the facts. It doesn't have to be so emotional.
Yeah, that's great advice. You're going out on a ledge, right? You're like, okay, not only am I going to hire a marketing person who I maybe, you know, may or may not be able to afford, but then I'm going to also hire a person who I might not even need if this marketing person doesn't work out. So
exactly.
Shit. Now what? Right. It's a real leap of faith, right? Like you say, it's a crossroads, and it's also I think it's almost like a mental bridge that you have to cross in order to get to a place where you're like, this is what I need. I know what I need to be successful. This is what I need. I want to be successful. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was smart to have that, give yourself that comfort, right? I mean, it is a little bit of comfort level. Yeah. Having the money. Okay, I can afford 3 months of this person. They better perform 3 months.
Having that savings creates, I picture bowling, right? And putting up the rails, having that savings, put up the rails. But at the end of the day, we have to trust ourselves. And I always say, owning my own business was the second hardest thing I did after having children. And it's not for the faint at heart, but if you trust yourself and you can marry together, trusting your intuition with logic and facts, I think it's unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great advice. Excellent. So when someone first comes to work with you, what's the process? How do you start off with them?
Yeah. So when somebody comes, usually they book a call. So you go to kickstartaccountinginc.com and there's a link to book a call. Usually most people want to have a conversation about their particular situation. We have packages that start where you're at. So our packages start at, for somebody who's making less than $50,000 a year in revenue. So you're not coming in at a high package. You're starting with the package that's right for you. Then we take them through an onboarding process. We have this amazing onboarding specialist who comes in and meets with you to collect all the information. She sets up QuickBooks. She applies our strategic framework to your QuickBooks file. She's so amazing. She makes you feel like you're just chatting with a girlfriend, having drinks at the bar. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like you're meeting with your accountant. So once that process is complete, she does what's called a financial review call. We want to make sure you understand, where are you today? What are the numbers telling you? Give you the opportunity to ask any questions and get that support. Mm-hmm. And then on a moving forward basis, we become the back-end account, the bookkeeper. We're in the background processing all the transactions. I actually just had a client call today. She's like, so what am I supposed to be doing? And I was like, nothing. And she's
Don't
like,
make money.
She's like, so nothing. And I was like, nothing. She's like, that feels funny. And I was like, well, that's literally the whole point of hiring us. She's like, all right, fine. So you go back to making money. You go do and be in your zone of genius. And we stay in the background. We do all the bookkeeping. And here's my favorite part. We send every single one of our clients a monthly report with all of their financial statements. And we call it the snapshot. And it's an easy to read PDF that highlights an overview of their numbers, so that you are not spending time in the weeds. You can literally open this PDF document and just scroll through on your phone, and you know exactly where you're at as a business owner. And so I call us your accountability partner, because we're going to show up in that inbox by the 20th of each month, no matter what.
So how do people get the transactions to you?
QuickBooks has a bank feed. So QuickBooks will pull in the transactions every day. And then at the end of the month, clients send us a statement, or they set us up with accountant only access and we go in and pull them for them.
Okay, cool. Have you ever had to tell somebody, you know what, this business is just not working out for you? You just can't,
Absolutely not.
It's not sustainable.
No, we would never tell somebody that, because I don't believe that that's our not our role. It's not our call, right? Like, you as a business need to make that call. Has there been businesses that have shut down? Of course. We're accountants, not miracle workers, right? There's some people that the business doesn't work. Their concept didn't work. They weren't able to stick it out long enough. I usually think that's the problem, is people just don't stick it out long enough. Yeah. So have clients left because they went out of business? Sure. Would we ever tell somebody you should really hang it up? Absolutely not.
Well, that's good at least.
Yeah.
Cool. So I guess I'm going to in a minute ask you like how people can reach you and stuff. But first, is there something that I like out of my own like cluelessness, something that we should have talked about or that you want to really talk about that I haven't thought to ask?
You know, I think the big thing is not to let your money mindset hold you back. We all have a story. The way that our parents raised us, the way that our parents talked about money, the way our grandparents talked about money, the teacher who made a comment about money, the movies we watch, we all have the story going on in our head. And as you dive into entrepreneurship, please don't let that story around money hold you back. There are people out there to help you. You do not have to do it all alone.
Beautifully stated, Danielle. I really, you're absolutely, and that it's so, that's such an important message because we don't all, I mean, I sometimes catch myself saying, you know, oh, this such and such, you know, oh, you can't get that yogurt. It's too expensive. And I think to myself, really? An extra that's 50 who? Cents for the yogurt? That's going to do make the difference here?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's that little voice, you know, like, oh, just get the cheap yogurt. Like, I don't like cheap yogurt.
Yeah. You have permission to get the yogurt that you want to get.
Yes. Thank you. So, Danielle, I think every person who's even thinking about going on and doing their own thing should be talking to you. So what's the best way for people to reach you?
Go to kickstartaccountinginc.com. We also have our podcast, Business by the Books. We talk every single week about how to use your numbers to manage your business in your entrepreneurial journey. And then you can find us on Instagram at Kickstart Accounting.
Perfect. Yeah, that's awesome. It's definitely, I mean, catch the podcast, right? You don't even know what little gem you're going to pick up. We'd be like, oh my God. Oh, that's it. That was the key. That's what I needed to understand.
We just did a whole tax series, which is, you know, a lot of people ask us, what are the deductions I'm missing? Or what am I not putting through my business that I should be? If you go to kickstartaccountinginc.com/gift, there is the top tax deductions that every business owner needs to know. You can download that and it'll take you right to the podcast.
Oh, that's fantastic. Awesome. Awesome. Danielle, thank you so much for being with us today. I know you're like I said, you're one of the people that everybody like, don't wait. Okay. This is my advice to all the listeners. Do not wait until you're sitting there at midnight with a pile full of crap and your CPA is yelling at you because it's the last day to put your tax stuff together. And you're just like, I hate numbers. I hate this stuff. Like, don't be that person.
Yeah. Your numbers are going to give you so much information. They allow you to make better business decisions throughout the entire year. If you're waiting to the last moment, you miss the opportunity. Yeah. Take the opportunity, know your numbers, and you show your tax accountant who's boss.
You know, it's just this little sidebar. I was going to stop, but I'm just going to tell you a little sidebar. So thinking about like, to me, people say, well, where does your business come from? Well, you know, most people just kind of like find us on Google. So I'm advertising, I'm paying to put ads other places. And I'm like, is there like a combination? Like, well, they saw Google and then they're like, oh, like in the back of my mind, I feel like I've seen that somewhere else. Or should I just like pay Google to raise my stuff? It's that sort of analysis, right? Is what you can start to pull
exactly.
out with your bookkeeper.
Exactly. How much are you spending in marketing? Here's the number one question we get. I didn't hit my goals. I can't figure out why. And then they'll say, well, where should I cut back? Where should I stop spending? And I'm like, stop spending. You need to spend money. Like, you didn't hit your goals because you spent less than 2% of your sales in advertising and marketing. We want you to spend 8 to 10% of your sales in marketing because that's how you grow. And so if you're not having that conversation with your bookkeeper, again, you know, we kind of talked about earlier, not all bookkeepers are created equal. So not every bookkeeper is going to have this conversation. Need to find the team that's going to have the conversation with you and confidently tell you it's okay.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much, listeners, for listening. Okay. So Danielle just shared some really, I mean, in the realm of bookkeeping, in the realm of any sort of money and number consulting, I can tell that Danielle is just going to be way head and shoulders above the, your average number cruncher person, whether it's bookkeeper or CPA or whatever. And I know that from experience because I used to have a great CPA and then he retired and left me with this person who all they did was plug in numbers that I put together and gave to him, right? And I'm like, you're not helping. You know how this, the other guy, the first year I gave him my taxes from the year before and he said, oh, if you do XYZ and refile these, you're gonna, and I saved like his next 2 years worth of fees, right? So this is the thing, like, don't imagine that you don't have the money to hire a bookkeeper because actually you don't have the money not to hire a bookkeeper. And if you're feeling short of money, you need a bookkeeper more than anybody, right? I mean, am I crazy here, Danielle? What do you think?
No, you're not crazy at all. Again, not all tax accounts are created equal. Yeah. Tax accounts, all they did special was go get their CPA. They're people running businesses just like us. And so you have the responsibility as a business owner to take control of your numbers, take control of your finances, to choose the right partners who are going to support you. And if you don't find the right one, doesn't mean you don't ever find another one, right? It's like if one boyfriend breaks up with you, you're not going to ever date again. No, you get back on and you date again until you find the one. The same thing in finding service providers in our business as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So listeners, think of someone, if you're not a person, or and actually, even if you are a person who either has started their own business or would like to start their own business, but even if you are already that person and you're already benefiting from what Danielle said, I still want you to think of at least two other people who you know who are in that situation who are going to be like, oh my God, I love listening to everything Danielle just said to me. And now I'm going to go jump on her podcast and forward this episode to them and they will thank you. They will be eternally grateful. And I'm eternally grateful to you, Danielle.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And see you all next week.